The secret of success is given to everyone. This is one of the great truths. There's no one, no matter how high or lowly the position or the place of destiny, that God hasn't called to be a success in this lifetime and in the lifetime to come. And today, God wants us to settle once and for all that it is written into his plans and purposes from eternity that everyone should be a success. God never designed anyone to be a failure. Failures are self-made. I'm going to say that again. God never designed anyone to be a failure. Failures are self-made. And I really believe God wants that to sink so deep into our spirit man that it revolutionizes everything about our faith and our actions. I never have been able to find it in myself to believe in failure. For if we're made in the image of God, how can he have made you a failure? There is a scripture that God gave me this last week that is one of those profound scriptures. I've mentioned it to a few of you, but I'm going to read it again to everybody. But before I do, I want to give you that sentence again. God never designed anyone to be a failure. Failures are self-made. And I need you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And before we turn to my scripture in Ecclesiastes 9, I want to see that you to see this scripture is one verse and is divided into two portions. The first portion lists the five qualities you'd expect for a successful person to have. Then he turns around and says, none of these do it. Then he shows us the truth I want us to see. And so we must go to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. He says, first of all, the race is not to the swift, that is sharp and fast. Nor the battle to the strong, that's self-explanatory. I can, and I can do it. Nor bread to the wise, that's intelligent people. Nor riches to men of understanding, that is those with insight and education. Nor favor to men of skill. Now there's talent and ability. You've covered every reason you'll ever come up with for being a success. And then we have a revelation about God. He says, but time and chance happen to them all. Or in other words, the secret to everyone's success is a common secret. It's about time, and it's about seizing hold of your opportunity as you recognize it. You don't have to be swift or strong or wise or of understanding or be of skill, but you have to see the time for what it is. Now this word time in the Hebrew text, eth, means the now or the when. You have to see the now of your morning, the now of your afternoon, the now of your evening. Then this word chance in the text pega, but in the English, it's the to impinge. You have to see the now when God impinges into your affairs. Another word they used to translate is not to impinge, it's to impact. You've got to see the now, and you've got to be seeing when it is God impacting or something or someone else. He says those two things will make you a success. You can practice being the fastest, sharpest guy in the world. You can become the strongest person that ever lived. You can be become so experienced in good and right as to be wise. You can be full of understanding and education. You can be so skillful and talented it makes someone's eyes water. And you can miss it. When I read this and started thinking about it, I realized why so many good and talented people, capable people, were nothing and had nothing. Think about it. Well, I know better. I can do more. I'm more qualified. Look at my talents. But you don't treat time properly or the chances that come your way. You see, the fact is, God says those who are on the cutting edge of time and are willing to recognize my chances and grab them and say, this is it, this is my number, they're the ones who succeed. But there are two real problems with this. And the first is folks don't recognize the time. Maybe they're distracted by something that's got their attention and their hearts and their lives, and so that's all they're seeing. Or maybe they're oblivious of the prophetic direction of their lives and they're going for something that isn't even a part of their direction. Or maybe the immediate catches them unawares and takes them by surprise, and so they let it fall through their fingers. But for one reason or another, folks don't recognize the time. And the second thing is this, and this was very big for me. Folks are more adept to recognizing a negative impact rather than a positive impact from God. Yeah. They give their time to the negative impact and get involved in that. And they're putting this right, and they're putting that right, and they're putting out that fire, and they're making that complaint. It's something negative, and they've given their time to that. Well, then, you see, you give your time to that, you won't see the positive impact from God. You'll miss it. You won't recognize it. You don't want it to look like something unqualified. You start saying, maybe, or one day my ship will come in. Honey, you live in a port, and there's ships all around you. Yeah. But you're not treating your time right. And you're not paying attention to the impinging. I like the word impact, but that impinging for me. I mean, to butt in. You don't recognize when God butts into your day, butts into your conversation, butts into your experience, butts into your doings and your being, butts into your life. You don't recognize it. You just see it as an irritation, a disturbance, or perhaps that could be okay, but I'm not sure. We back out, we take the faith out. You know, this actually is the root for what you've heard from me say all my life, geography, timing, and faith. Right. But time and chance happen to them all. And then suddenly I realized why there are just so many losers. I don't mean that in the sense of me calling someone a loser, but I mean they just are without. Now I realized why the one talented guy went and hid his gift. He was afraid. He was upset. He was going after the negative. He had to get it all organized. I had to get it all right. Got to get it under control. I think one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in my 69 years, oh good night, is that stupid people who don't have a handle on anything, who make mistakes all the time and are embarrassing public speakers, can get the time right and recognize the impact and do something. And you just stand by and say, how did the world did that come down? But on the other hand, there you are, busy doing this and busy correcting that and busy perfecting that and busy looking for attention. You miss it. I'm convinced that we believers are supposed to be, well, let's find the scripture we read this morning, shall we? In Ephesians chapter 5. Because I believe this is the key to being ready for your opportunity. And there are six of them here in between Ephesians 5, 8 and to verse 21. So turn to Ephesians 5. Six keys here to being ready for the time and to recognize the impact. You're going to recognize. You know, you can't, if you're not a person of faith and you're not tuned into the prophetic, you won't recognize the time. You'll postpone it subconsciously. You'll deny it subconsciously. You'll transfer it to someone else subconsciously. Well, I'm going to give you the six keys. Number one, in verse 15, he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools. And circumspectly as wisely. He says, you're going to have to start walking wisely. Don't be a fool. Stop playing the fool. Stop fooling around. Are you walking wisely? I'm talking about folks who are ready with the time and the impinging when God's hand is there. Are you walking circumspectly and not as a fool? I don't mean, to ask you from the point, we all justify ourselves in our nonsense all the time. Put that aside for 5 minutes today, please, because I believe God wants to make you a great success. And I don't believe God ever designed a failure. But people fail all day long, talented people, good-looking people, ugly people, every kind of people. I was always amazed when you put an advert in the paper to hire somebody and all the responses. Some of the people that respond to you for the most lowly of jobs look like they should be executives somewhere and CEOs. You look at them, you say, good grief, and you want this lowly job. And you say to yourself, isn't life interesting? Life is run by the devil who runs this world. It's his cosmos. He's a thief, a liar, and a murderer, and it is his goal to rub you and your talents and your abilities and your motivations and your strengths into the ground.
Yeah.
And the only defense you and I have, my friends, is time and chance.
Hallelujah.
He says, number one, walk circumspectly, not as a fool. Stop playing the fool. Be wise. Number two, verse 16. Three words, redeem the time. Man, what are you doing with it? Are you buying back the time from that thief? Are you saying, no, you're not taking my time with that. No, I'm not going to waste my day doing that. No, I'm not going to go over there and fool with that. I'm redeeming the time. I'm a man. I'm a woman on a commission. I had to say commission. I meant a mission. But I said commission because I think that's too cute. You can start redeeming the time. I want to do this and I want to relax. Folks, I've heard many preachers say this. You look at the scriptures, they confirm it. God only uses busy people. Because he can't get the rest moving. What's very interesting about time is it doesn't ever stop.
Right.
I'm having a bad day, you better stop the clock, Lord Jesus. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. It. You just keep getting older. Who would ever believe I'd be standing up here at 69 years of age? I mean, for crying in a bucket. That doesn't mean. When I say that, my stepfather falls into a great fit of laughter, which is 102 this year. But the fact is, I'm not 102. I'm 69. And it took 69 years to get here. And it took 2 seconds. It's gone! Number 3. Verse 17, you can tell I'm going to be flying through a lot today. Understand what the will of the Lord is, from verse 17. Boy, you better know the will of God, because time and chance happen to everyone, and if it's taking you out of the will of God, get away! But they're handing me a pot of gold. Let them keep their pot of gold. It's a lie! Understand what the will of the Lord is. What always amazes me is how many times Jesus had to do that. He didn't say what he didn't hear from his father. He didn't do. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's yet day, for the night cometh with another man. Come work. Good night. Understand what the will of the Lord is. You want chance and time to be on your side. You'll miss it and waste it. Now you say, you're being a little hard. No, I'm really excited about this. And I'm telling you, I just... It's heartbreaking to see people throw away chance and time.
Yeah.
Number 4. It takes up verses 18 and 19, but it's five words I'll borrow in the middle. Be filled with the Spirit. What kind of spirit are you filled with? A proud spirit, a lying spirit, an immoral spirit, a dishonest spirit. What kind of spirit are you filled with? Because we're talking here about time and chance. And I'm telling you here and now, you better make sure you're filled with the right spirit. You say, but I'm saved. I know that. And I have been in the ministry long enough to experience myself and others to know that you can be filled with all kinds of spirits. You can be filled with the spirit of bitterness, meanness. You can be filled with the spirit of pride or self-justification.
Yeah.
You have to be filled with the Spirit. Number 5. Verse 20, giving thanks always. That's the next thing. You've got to stay grateful. You will waste your time and miss the impinging. I like that. You know, those of you who are around me, hear me using the word impinging in prayer all the time. Who would believe that this word chance is impinging? Who would believe that in my days, in my time, God is continually impinging to make me a success? And I need to embrace that impinging. Impinge, Lord. But will you see it when he impinges? If you're not grateful and always giving thanks, I'm telling you, a bad attitude can make you a failure. And when you are a failure, you will have all the people to blame. You'll have a list of them and everything they did to you. And you know, you take it to this list here we looked at in Ecclesiastes, and it's worthless. Number 6. Verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You want to be in the when or the now, the time, and recognize God's impinging, then you're going to have to understand as a believer, it doesn't work the way that it does in the world. You ain't going to necessarily recognize and do on your own. You need to understand that we are a people under authority. I don't mean everyone tells you what to do, and I don't want to tell you what to do. But what I mean by that is you'd better be a bouncer and bounce it off people. Bounce it off spiritual people. No use bouncing it off your buddy, their ladies, like these ladies. Honey, do you like my dress? Oh, yes, it's so beautiful. Stop asking your girlfriend if she likes your dress or your hair or your face. Ask the fellas. Bounce it off the right people and get the right answer. Well, we talked about staying ready. Now, from Philippians chapter 3, I want to talk to you about seizing your chance. I'm not going to hurry because this could just go on, and I do not want it to. Are you getting something out of this?
Yes.
In Philippians 3, I'm talking about how to seize your chance. Look at verse 13. Brethren of Philippians 3, I do not count myself to have apprehended, that is laid hold of. Now, it's actually a very interesting context for us talking about God's impinging and treating the time properly. But one thing I do above all things, I forget what's behind me and reach forward. The biggest problem folks have, and I believe the biggest thing that leads people to fail is they can't forget the past. He says, forget the things that are behind us, and somehow we turn around and remember it. And we use it for ammunition. The devil uses that for ammunition against our own souls and against other people. You will never, never recognize your time or your chance if you haven't forgotten the past and you are pressing forward. Forget the past. But it meant so much to me. And you know something? It cannot mean any more to you anymore because it's come and it is gone. Stop talking to me about this incredible steak you had and let's go to the restaurant and have one. It's true. That's the bottom line. We've got to learn to forget the past and press forward towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think before I go any further, and there's further involved here, I must read to you again from this Ecclesiastes 9:11. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. It wipes you all out, buddy. Would the idiots step forward, please, who will pay attention to time and chance? And I want to thank God that it happens to all. In other words, every one of us get time and chance. Well, I couldn't. You got time and you got chance. Now, having said that, I'll say it again. Forget the past. Embrace the future. Now, what's the golden rule of success? 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Grace. Stop deciding what, Richard doesn't deserve that. Isn't that incredible, Muti? You don't have to get what you deserve. You could get what you deserve. Just ignore time and chance. Go ahead, you'll get what you deserve. The devil will run you right into failure. But 1 Corinthians 15:10 is one of those powerful scriptures. I'm a little reluctant to read it to you, but sometimes I wonder if you think I only know certain scriptures, and that's the one I use every week. But 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. I like that word, but. He starts with but. He's heard it. By the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. What an incredible concept. The golden rule of success is doing something with the grace God has given you. What are you doing with this grace God has given you? Are you becoming a better person, a bigger person, a stronger person, a more successful person? Or you just keep falling in it like it's a safety net, and grace is a safety net. But my friend, you're not going to succeed with that. All you're going to do is keep floundering over and over again. Okay, we're not finished yet. We're getting there, but we haven't arrived. Now, just to be kind to myself, we have to turn to Matthew 25 and the first sermon I ever preached. I can still remember preaching it. I didn't preach it once either. I preached it a lot. I didn't know anything else. That's where I was at that point in my life. And I preached it to Indians, to black people, to white people. And you know how I had Matthew 25, 18 through verse 30? You know how I hit it. You know what my heading for this is? And I've got seven things to read to you. Avoid the pitfalls of small thinking. There are plenty of lessons in Matthew 25. But you know something? The biggest lesson is avoid the pitfall of small thinking. Because there were these people, see? There was a 5-talented person, a 2-talented person, and a 1-talented person. And they all could be a success. But the guy with the small thinking, he failed. Now, I could read you some of these scriptures. Maybe I should. Let's listen to some whining. Matthew 25:24. But he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were to be a hard man. Boy, I knew you were hard, Almighty God. Any hard God would give me the wife I've got. Only a hard God would give me the job I got. Only a hard God would put me in that little sorry church over there. Only a hard God would do this to me. He said, I knew you're a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. Oh, not only hard, but dishonest. Like God requires us to use the law of sowing and reaping, but he doesn't. You reap where you didn't sow. You stole mine, in other words. And gathered where you have not scattered. You picked up my stuff. You got my blessing. Look, I showed you that. And now look, you took it. Here's another problem. Verse 25, I was afraid. Oh, hey. There's another problem. Again in verse 25, I hid what you gave me. Here, take what is yours. I still got it. What a mean, bitter dog. Well, we know he lost everything. But that's how we'll sum it up. I'm going to give you 7 things. And if they don't seem like they come out of this chapter, you're right. Maybe however you dig, you'll see them in there. Good luck digging. Number one, you can't, but God can. You see, some of you are waiting for God to do. I didn't say God will do. You have to do the doing. You can't, but God can, but you must do. If you look at these talents and this whole thing, it's all about that. You can't, but God can. That's the story of grace. Number two. This is a good one. Stay hungry, but don't lose your peace. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? Stay hungry, but don't lose your peace. Stay hungry, but don't lose your peace. Number three. I like this one too. Don't be put off by the price tag. God will make it up to you. Number three. Don't be put off by the price tag. God will make it up to you. Get out there and do it. Amen. Number four. Do what must be done cheerfully by faith. Number four, do what must be done cheerfully by faith, man. Do it by faith with a smile on your face. We're about to land this thing. Number five, this is good. Listen to this. Follow the Holy Spirit and not the circumstances. Don't forget you're the head, not the tail, see? You're the head, not the tail. Follow the Holy Spirit, not the circumstances. Right. I don't care what the circumstances say to you. If God said it, it's done, so take it.
Right.
Number six. Are we getting something out of this, folks?
Yes.
Number six, honor the word, W-O-R-D, and don't break the rules. Amen. Honor the word and don't break the rules. Honor the word and don't break the rules. And then finally, number seven, and I'm going to let you go home in just a minute. I like this one best of all. Number seven. Live like it's all up to you and plan on it being all up to God. Number seven. Live like it's all up to you and plan on it all being up to God. I'll say it again. That's a good one, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Live like it's all up to you and plan on it all being up to God.
Amen.
Live like it's all up to you and plan on it all being up to God. The trouble is we live like it's up to God and we leave our plans up to God and God hasn't done a thing yet. I'm waiting on the Lord. No, you're not. You're going to be a failure. I'm going to say again what I said is my title. The secret of success is given to everyone. And it's not being swift or strong or wise or understanding or skillful. It's what you do with your time and the chances that come your way. Could I read it with the two Hebrew words in there? But, instead of saying but time and chance, I'm going to say but now and impact happens to them all. I'll put two other words they use in the lexicon. But when and impinging happens to them all. Do you recognize your when or your now? Do you recognize your impact and your chance when you come into face to face with destiny that doesn't look like destiny, that happens regularly as God wants to take you to another level, another chance, another opportunity to open another door? Well, I'm believing God for you.
Amen.
And I've watched you. And I'm proud of you. And I'm rooting for you and praying for you. I believe it is time to rest assured of the fact the secret of success is given to everyone, and that includes me. And I don't have to worry about whether I'm swift or not, or strong or not, or wise or not, or have understanding or not, or I'm skillful. I just got to stay on the ball when it comes to the when, the now, the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the chance, the impact, the impinging.
Hallelujah.
When God stuffs something in front of me.
Hallelujah.
When God opens a door. When God shuts a door. When God says stop. When God says go, when God says sit, when God says look up, when God says say nothing, when God says say something, when God says this is the person, when God says that is not the person. Folks, the secret of success is given to everyone, and I'm so grateful I don't have to be embarrassed anymore.
Amen.
It's true.
Yes,
I'm not embarrassed anymore.
Amen.
God didn't do that to you. You did it. You did it. You're the one who didn't pay any attention to your time. And all the nows and whens came right by you. To you, there was just another old boring what a drag of a day. You didn't see your chances because you didn't recognize the impact and the impinging that God's at work ahead. God's in this thing. But I'm believing God that today will turn it all around. You'll make substantive decisions. God in heaven, times better watch out now. The nows and the whens better be careful because I am watching and I am ready and I am not letting any of it slip by. And Lord, if I just see your hand, that it lines up with the prophetic and the word and all that stuff I gave you, I'm going for it.
Amen.
And I'm going to live.
Amen.
Like it's all up to me.
Amen.
And plan like it's all up to God.
Amen.
And I'm going to shout grace, grace all the way, and I, like Caleb, are going to take my mountain, and that's the end of that.
Amen.
And there are things I cannot afford to do anymore. There are places I cannot afford to go anymore. There are people I cannot afford to mix with anymore. Don't need it. You may have had a place in my life. You may have been important to me. You may have been something I like to do. But it's not that business as usual anymore.
Amen.
I am going to succeed by the grace of Almighty God. Not because I'm stubborn. That's silly. But the secret of success is given to everyone. And why should I be an unwise steward?
Amen.
I like that. Who then is a faithful and wise steward? Lord Jesus, it is our prayer that you find us to be faithful and wise stewards, successful kingdom people that you can boast about. And we'll shout grace, grace, and give God all the glory. Amen and amen. God bless you, darling people. I'm blessed by this, aren't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in your believing, so that you're bound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes. God bless.